1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go. Fan morning show here. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee alongside me, the two of us alongside you. Very happy to be joined now by our first guest of the day, David Sampson, host of the Nothing Personal podcast with David Sampson. David, how's it going? Thanks for taking the time with us this morning. How are you doing?
It's my pleasure. I'm doing great.
Love having you on. We know you go on with our buddy Jeff Blair all the time, and he'd wince hearing us call him his buddy. But happy to steal you for the week here. For Blair, he's so personable. He loves his coworkers so much. So yeah, he's just thrilled. He referred to himself as a friend. First question, kind of stock, boring, I know, but how do we fix that game last night? I suppose you could say, hey, it was a 3-2 baseball game. We watch those all the time, and we would even consider them exciting. What are you complaining about? Is there even a problem with baseball's All-Star game, David?
Well, baseball clearly is the best All-Star game of all of the major sports. It's the most competitive. Players care the most. When you saw the game end last night, when Kimbrough struck out Ramirez, you saw the National League come out of that dugout and celebrating almost like it's a postseason win or a regular season walk-off. The only change that I would make that's fun is that the Julio Rodriguez at bat last night, which was just out of the storybooks, when he had a chance at home to walk it off for the American League, and then he took the walk. The only way he was able to hit is that.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Worst sound in sports radio.
Ka-donk.
Ka-donk.
Yeah, that would have been an electric moment. I mean, until we get to the playoffs, nothing in baseball this year is going to surpass Trout, Ohtani. Like, quite honestly.
Even when we get to the playoffs.
I was going
to
say, it's possible we have an entire postseason go by with nothing that cool happening, but Rodriguez at home, chance to walk it off. And yeah, I mean.
So people liked the game a lot last night. I saw a lot of and it seemed like David liked it too. Like, there was a couple moments, but to me, the All-Star game in baseball is, it's postseason baseball without the stakes, because it's all the best pitchers.
You're right.
And it's all the best guys.
Just wipe out, strike out,
but there's no stakes.
All right, let's bring back in David Sampson. You were just talking about Rodriguez there, and then we heard the worst sound in sports radio, your phone dropping. So sorry, if you could just pick up what you were saying about Rodriguez having the chance at the end there, David.
So what a storybook ending that would be for Rodriguez in front of the home crowd, walking it off. But the only way he got to hit is that Kyle Tucker walked in front of him. And since the All-Star game doesn't count, I would change the rules. We're in the ninth inning. The team that's down can put up to the plate anyone it wants at any time.
Oh, I love
and
that.
That sounds crazy.
No, that sounds great.
Why can't Julio Rodriguez lead off if they're down one and try to tie the game? Or you can put a pinch runner in like a De La Cruz or someone who's super fast in case a guy's on first, and then he can steal second, steal third, steal home. I just want to give every opportunity to the fans to get the matchup that sometimes fate delivers, but I don't want to leave it to fate. I want to take control of it. That's one of the changes I would make. The second change, I don't care that Aaron Judge is hurt. I'm sorry that he's hurt. I really am.
Oh, no, no. It was going to be so good. He was winding up again. He doesn't care that Aaron Judge is hurt, but.
Ka-donk.
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 Oh. So
if I was Kipper right now, boys.
Oh
my God.
The daggers you guys are getting. Intern Al's feeling it. He feels the pressure, even though he has nothing to do with this here. Austin, always a little panicky and jittery. So this is going well back there. And I don't know that Sampman can be bothered by anything. So it's great. Just quite the looks we're getting from the fellas back there.
Kipper has a pretty good 3-strike rule.
Oh yeah.
I don't think the 3 strikes is tough.
It is tough. Will we have a third? I don't know. I see Austin on the phone right now, yucking it up. So we'll get David in a second. And I do love the idea of effectively, a guy Sampson works with, Stu Gotts, throwing out the idea of the magic at bat. I love that. Bring back in David Sampson now. Okay, so I just wanted, before we throw it back to you, I want to say, love the idea of put whoever at the dish or on the base pass when needed. It is an All-Star game. Who cares? Aaron Judge, you were just winding up. We were very excited to hear what you had to say. Aaron Judge, go, David. Welcome back.
I am very sorry.
No worries. No worries.
I understand that he wants to be. Oh no, I'm not sorry that you guys dropped the ball. I am sorry that Aaron Judge is hurt, but here's my rule: when you're voted in by the fans, you come to the game. period. There is rehab that can be done in the training room in Seattle. It is a long flight. It's a pain in the neck. The players like the break. Don't kid yourself. The players like it. That said, when the fans vote you in, I want you on the line. I want you doing the media. I want you being a part of it. And I'm not speaking specifically just to Aaron Judge, but to any player who's voted in, no matter the injury, no matter how unwise it is the players did it because the player maybe isn't deserving of starting, it doesn't matter. That's what the fans want. That's what the fans get.
I love both of those things, and I want to extrapolate on your first one.
You didn't hear it, did you?
What?
Right as he answered, we got the ka-dunk.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. The guys by the glass are not happy. Don't worry about it, guys. We could chat here. David's the best guest because as soon as he thought I was apologizing or I was saying sorry for him apologizing, he immediately schooled in the school of Jeff Blair. No, yeah. I do not care about you guys at all. That does not matter. I'm sorry to Aaron Judge. I'm with him. Again, both those things. This is all part of it. I get we see this in the NHL all the time. We see this in the NHL all the time where an Ovi, you know, they have handed out suspensions to guys for missing All-Star games. Now, it's a one-game suspension. It's far from the end of the world, but clearly that's a league who understands you have to have your stars at the game. I have no problem with that rule at all. It is a job. You have to go. I get it. Even if you're hurt, I got no problem. Now, it's like, if the guy's in a full body cast, maybe we don't need to drag him across the country, but if you got a bad shoulder, a bum hammy, or whatever's keeping you out, as Samson said, you could do rehab there. I love that rule.
So, the first thing he said to me is an incredible idea. And I think what makes it really fascinating is that not only do you get to see get to see a great player come up in a big at bat,
yep.
You also get to see who the best manager in the league
I like this.
Thinks is the biggest, the clutchest guy.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to say, be like, okay, if I'm the American League guy, I'm going Shohei.
Right.
Right? Like, you're like, obviously I'm going to go Shohei Ohtani, but is that manager, whoever it is, let's say it's Aaron Boone, who's the manager, and Aaron Judge is playing, is he going to be like, show up his guy?
No.
And put in somebody else? So, like, I feel like it would be a great discussion point for people like us, sports fans, would be like,
phenomenal.
Be like, how could you put in that guy over Shohei Ohtani? You're just favoring your own guy. Like, it's such a fascinating discussion point that you could bring stuff up. So, I absolutely love that idea.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this. Obviously, the stakes are higher with this stuff. But, I mean, Martin St. Louis' relationship with the Tampa Bay Lightning blew up because he was not selected to Team Canada when Steve Yzerman was the general manager of that team. Now, again, that's way higher stakes of not getting to play for your country versus not getting to go up in the ninth inning of a who cares exhibition game. But I do feel like some of that would be a play. Could you imagine a world where it is Boone and he throws Judge out there and they're just booing him mercilessly? And the idea of, you know, I also like the idea of this being a way to, you know, the NBA does a great job of, for their All-Star weekend, just because a guy's not an All-Star doesn't mean he can't be in the three-point shootout or whatever. There's a lot of opining of why wasn't Nelly De La Cruz there. I think you should be able to have a specialist for each kind of thing in the All-Star game. So if we're going to do this idea of a manager can just, let's say there's a threshold, it doesn't need to be, it can happen at any point in the game, who cares? You should be able to have a specialist pinch runner, a specialist power hitter, a specialist need-a-knock guy, a defensive specialist. Why not? Like, we can make these categories as vast or as super small as possible, but and you shouldn't have to fill them out. Baseball already has the rule where I don't know what it's called, but basically Rob Manfred can say, you, sir, are a legend and you will go to this All-Star game. They did it with Pujols last year. Yeah. Okay. So why can't they just say, you, Ellie De La Cruz, you have played 13 games, fastest dude on planet Earth.
We want
go stand there in case we need you. I have no problem with that, and I'll go beyond having no problem with that. I love that.
Yeah, that's a really...
Did your brain just break? What's going
on here? No, just texted in and said, Sammy must have a signal jammer in his pocket. Holy cow, feels like Kipper and Bourne interviews here.
Yeah. What's going on? What are you doing? What's
Kipper
wrong?
Kipper has made it feel like I'm the guy that drops the calls.
I mean,
and he just looks behind the glass. He just goes, Sammy. I'm like, oh, no.
I don't know. There's a pattern here. Didn't have anybody drop when I was filling in with Justin or Ailish in the past little while here. Just got to say. I don't know. So, I mean, Kipper's not here, Bourne's not here, but you are. Maybe it is your fault.
So power rank the guys you want up in the spot. If you're okay, one, it's the classic.
Yes, give it to me.
Bottom of the ninth.
Yes.
Down a run.
Yes.
Man on.
Yes.
And Aaron Boone's like, it's my time to put in the what's the name for this?
The idea that Samson kind of like workshopped this off, I believe, is the magic at bat is what, because this came from an idea where a guy would say baseball was too boring in the regular season and you should just have one magic at bat a game that you can put whoever you want up there in a regular season game is where the idea kind of stemmed from. But yeah, you call it whatever you want. You call it magic at bat. You call it plop a guy. You could call it pick and place. It does not matter what you call it, but whatever it is. Give me the
pick
scenario.
Pick and place.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good name here on the fly.
You don't have one.
I don't have one. No. Text in what you think that at-bat should be. So I was trying to do something with clutch.
Do our job for us.
Clutch something. But anyways, I didn't want to get too into that. Who's your guy?
Well, obviously a little dependent. Like if it's a lefty, I don't think you go Shohei. But I mean, off the top of my head, I feel like that's probably the guy. If I just need, honestly, this is like a hipster baseball answer. Mm-hmm. If I need a knock, truly, like it is just a find a way, it's Luis Arraez.
Wow.
Guy has a magic wand. He's like a 400 hitter. He's been up in upper 300s for the better part of 2 years now. If I just need one guy to scratch across a knock, it doesn't need to be a big bop. It doesn't need to be a double that clears all the bases. If I got bases loaded, find a way. Honestly, that might be the guy in baseball for me. And I know that is a very Jeff Merrick hockey hipster baseball take of me. Maybe I'll shout out Jeff Blair for that one instead. But yeah, that's my guy. I honestly think. You got a guy?
I got a maybe even more hipster pick. Give me Freddie Freeman.
Canadian legend.
Yeah, because, I mean, first of all, I'll always love him for that, for showing up to play for our jobber squad.
Hey, a lot of guys wouldn't. Yes. Maybe even a super lauded one in Cincinnati. Maybe.
We had a better showing this year, Canada.
Yeah.
We had real baseball pitchers on our baseball team, but.
Our favorite Canada WBC moment will always be Ryan Dempster hanging on for dear life in the first inning against the Dominican Republic. I'm pretty sure.
He got out of it unscathed.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure it was like.
I can't remember who it was.
It was all the big boppers in baseball unleashing 800-mile bombs.
Dalton Pompey's never ran faster.
That somehow died on the track just for Dalton Pompey to find his way under. One of the great moments. But yeah, how can you? I love that.
Because not only are you getting.
He's got pop.
He's an excellent AB.
Yep.
He's one of the better ABs in the league. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to use Baseball Reference at all. People look up cool things on Baseball Reference all the time.
No, the new one, Baseball Savant. That's what you got to get.
But I bet you just anecdotally that he leads the league in pitches seen per AB. I bet you he's way up there. Yeah. I don't know how to look at that. But
again, somebody could.
Somebody could. Maybe somebody even behind the glass who can't get David Sampson to stay on the line could look that up for me. But I'm joking. I would never do that to you. So he always has a great AB. Good contact guy.
Yeah.
Slap one the other way. Keep the AB going. Or if you groove one to him, you'll hit it out of the park.
Yep.
I love my Freddie Freeman pick.
If I'm going to go with a slightly less hipstery pick, like a more, classic all-star, I'm going to stick with his teammate then. The guy who I jokingly have called the best player in baseball, at least until Shohei came along. Mookie Betts. Guy could do everything. Guy's just playing shortstop for the Dodgers this year now. It's absurd what he is capable of doing, and it will never not be ridiculous that a team with as big pockets as Boston just said no thanks. But hey, their loss is the AL East gain there. That's another one. If you want to text us in, who would be your guy in that situation? But the other part of this as well. Now you can already do this with pitchers, but the idea of you don't have to be a closer who shuts it down. I wonder who people would think is kind of the best arm in baseball in that scenario. Because I mean, you can say Gerrit Cole just because of the electric stuff, but Gausman's splitter is maybe as good a pitch as anybody else has. Obviously, we talk about what Ohtani is, and yeah, it's just it's a really fun conversation to have for sure.
Stephen Oakville says, have a Hall of Famer that can still swing the bat and have the pitcher throw him a cookie. I would love the legends guys.
Yes.
and they put him in a big, like, legend versus legend in the All-Star game, like bringing a guy like bringing Greg Maddux.
Nolan Ryan, who could for sure still at least touch 85.
Yeah, and bring in, or Greg Maddux versus, like, Frank Thomas. Yeah. Make him take off the suit on the coverage and go in there and try to take an AB. It'd be incredible.
I would love to see it. I feel like somebody would need not a clutch replacement, but a hip replacement if we actually did, in fact, try that. That'd be the only problem.
Well, that's what someone just texted in. Clutch replacement's not very good.
No good. No. We got to work. Hey, look, shoot or shoot. Brainstorming, no bad ideas in one. That might be one, though. So keep them coming on the text line, 590-590. You know, I do think we get so bogged down with the idea of how do you fix the All-Star game? And I do think there are tweaks you can make that can make it more fun. But at the end of the day, you don't have to do anything to fix it. You just nailed it, what the problem is with it. Postseason baseball, if it were any sport that wasn't the postseason, we'd say, this stinks. This is boring. Guys just are striking out. There's nothing going on in the game. Every pitcher throws 100 miles an hour. It is impossible to scratch one out. And that is what the All-Star game is, because guess what? A starter's going in there and he's giving you one, maybe two great innings, and then it is just nasty guy after nasty guy for 12 pitches, and that's all you're going to get. And it is, if you're a baseball purist, you probably watch the All-Star game every year and love it, because it is exactly that. I'll even admit myself, for, you know, they're showing a lot of the National League guys on there, and it's just because a lot of times you watch a guy in a game, and when the game starts, they'll give you a, okay, here's what he's got. Buck will do the great pitching breakdown. But beyond that, you don't really get an idea of what does this guy throw? What's his pitch mix like? What does he have? So it's nice to kind of learn all that stuff from that perspective. But I don't know that we are ever going to quote unquote fix it, because I think, like, to Samson's point, to what everyone is saying, in the grand scheme of things, stakes aside, it was a great game, but that's what we love sports for, is the stakes.
Yeah, there was some great defensive plays. Like, obviously the first inning, you know, on both sides of the outfield for the American League, there's huge catches, which were pretty exciting, and maybe robbing a home run on that. Rosarena's, it was close. Either of them were going out, but they were both really close.
Not TV dives, but maybe a little exuberant calls.
Yeah, they kind of set the tone for the game, actually, because there was a lot of good defense throughout the game, and there was good pitching. So it was like a playoff game without the stakes. So I thought it was a solid 6 out of 10. Is that fair?
That's totally fair.
So, they have the clutch moment of the NL guy hitting the home run to put them up.
Yep.
The Rockies catcher?
Sure.
That's who it was.
Yep.
So, and actually, in the American League, the biggest knock of the game was almost the Rooker or whatever, the A's representative.
Yes, that's right.
Almost hit a go-ahead two-run bomb.
They did.
So it's like, oh my God, it's the A's representative? Like, I'm like, who is this guy? It's like, he's having a breakout year for the A's. I'm like, is there anyone on the A's that's having a breakout year?
I'm sure he will be an excellent Padre in three seasons then, is what that sounds like to me, if somebody's having a breakout on the A's.
You never know. Like,
ooh, I like this. I like this. Like the golf majors, have an honorary first at bat. So we know at Augusta, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, they get to poke it out there. They do this occasionally when there's like a legend. Like, I remember them wheeling Musial on the field the Cardinals have had it. At time and place. If there's a legend that makes sense for, here for it. But I don't know that. Again, I think that every year we have this idea of we got to fix it. And I think, to everybody's point, it's the best game for a reason. And it does just
Brett Rooker is having a great year, by the way.
Yep. It does just make me mad about the NHL's All-Star game and how much they've ruined it. Because, again, it's never going to be great. You're not going to see.
They don't play hockey anymore.
Well, exactly. It's just 3-on-3, which is fine, but I barely like watching that in the regular season.
Isn't the whole point of an All-Star game to have it be like the showcase for your sport?
Agreed.
With all the best players playing at the highest level? That's the whole point?
That is it.
And NBA's done too. They're terrible.
Well, NBA, the saving grace used to be, you'd have whatever happens for the first 44 minutes of the game. And then at 4 minutes, it's, okay, we have a 5-point game time.
There's no clock anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
They do the target score.
The Elam ending, which is, again, makes for an exciting ending. But it used to be
literally like five real-time minutes are exciting, but then it sucks.
But at least you used to get in the NBA the idea of, you would get a real kind of hierarchy of the league of like, okay, look who's out here, and not just who's out there, look who's getting the ball in these moments. You really don't get that even anymore because of the Elam ending, and it's just a very, very different. And I understand why they did it to try to create the juice, but again, in trying to fix it, you made it infinitely worse.
And the guys now, it's just all three-point shots. Like it's just a three-point contest. Guys take two steps over half, and they're just jacking up half quarters, and it sucks.
So all those old guys were right then. Steph Curry did ruin basketball. What did he do? He ruined our beautiful All-Star game.
I love basketball, and I love watching basketball. I think basketball is better now than it's ever been, but the All-Star game is way worse than it's ever been.
Yep, agreed.
You like this text from our boy Kyle in Woodstock?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
What if we let the pitching team pick a magic batter for the other team? They need a double play, and they use their magic batter for Vladdy. Imagine the suspense and drama that would create. I'll admit, I love a little animosity in sports. Ha ha. Ha ha. But that's an excellent
idea.
That is
phenomenal. It goes back to the position these leagues will never put players in of making someone look bad. Mm-hmm. But that would actually add, the reason why that would be great, you nailed it there with the animosity, is that it would give you a stake. It would make you care about something. You know, how, again, we don't need to turn this into a regular season discussion. How locked in do we think Vladdy was for those ABs last night? He was super, super jacked up.
I wouldn't say exactly.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Bottom of the eighth.
Someone picks him?
Man on first. And the National League says, this guy is dying to hit into a double play.
Hey,
I bet he locks in a bit. I bet he does.
That's not... It's pretty good.
But
it's pretty good,
Kyle. But it will never happen because the league will not put, again, whoever the National League manager is, in a position to say, I think this... They wouldn't do it to a 25th guy. They wouldn't do it to Kevin Biggio, put him in a position for a manager to say, I think this guy stinks. They're definitely not going to do it for Vlad or you know, Soto or Acuna or any of the other stars in the league.
Okay.
But would love to see it.
Should we chew on something here?
Oh, yeah, we should. Something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
Yum, yum, yum.
Ah, there it is.
I have something to chew on.
Oh, you do? Okay, I put a couple of things. Give it to me.
So this is a one that I have not come up with, but it's about picking things.
Okay.
And this has just came to the top of my head, and I don't want to do the Damian Lillard thing here because I want to stretch your legs a little bit longer on that.
Oh, yeah. We both got some stems. We could stretch them.
But have you ever liked the idea where the top seed in a respective league gets to pick their opponent?
I love it. It terrifies me should my team ever be the top seed,
right.
But otherwise, I love it.
I think that would create the most incredible animosity for a first-round playoff series that you could ever have. So you only do it in the first round in whatever league you would want to do. This feels like an NBA thing because they just get it, and they just do the stuff outside of the midseason tournament, which is insane.
We're talking about that tomorrow.
Yeah, we got to do some NBA. We haven't talked to the Raptors at all. But I love the idea of you earning your right to pick the team that you think you can beat and then having the inspired group that you picked against to come up against you. It's always been one of my favorite ideas that I've heard, and I didn't come up with it, and it was just something that came to my mind when we were talking about that, but I've always loved that idea.
Let me tell you exactly how that would go in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
We take the lowest seed to disrespect anyone, and they would put in a press release that they actually contemplated taking other teams, but they didn't think it'd be fair to the game
Here's the scary thing.
Mm. Who's picking the Leafs?
Probably anybody.
Yeah.
The top seed.
Like, oh, my God. It's like Boston's like, give us those choking dogs.
Literally, I think the Leafs might be the first overall pick by any team.
Okay, could you imagine if that was... Because it's... Wow, we're just in a full-blown Leafs conversation. Nick Foligno coming up in a couple minutes' time here. Maybe that's what they need. You know, Sheldon Keefe called them soft and purposeless, and then he went, oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to do that. Oh, sorry, I actually didn't mean that. If Jim Montgomery, head coach of the Boston Bruins, says, oh, that bunch of choking dogs? Yes, bring them to me,
please. Oh, that's
please.
The kid you want?
Yeah. Oh, I do think if there's anything that could wake up this Leafs core, maybe something like that would be it. Somebody who knows the Leafs core, played with them for 7 regular season games. Leaf legend, flags fly forever. Well, there were no flags, but Sudbury Wolves legend for sure. Nick Foligno going to join us next, halfway through the show here on the Fan Morning Show with Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee here halfway through the program here with you until 9 today. Text lines wide open, 590-590. Hit us up. Please include your name and location. Very, very happy to be joined by our second guest of the day. Former Leaf, former Bruin, of course, former Senator and Blue Jacket, and one of the newest members of the Chicago Blackhawks, Nick Foligno, joining us now. Nick, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you doing today?
Very well. How are you guys doing?
Fired up, fired up. Well, I got to be honest. You know, you have tough days in your business. They're definitely harder than ours. I want to be very clear about that. But this is as hard as they come. All-star break, no sports going on. Yeah. Talking sports for 3 hours. So we're really happy to talk to you. Is how we're doing, Nick. To be perfectly honest, there.
We're asking our texters for ideas of what we should talk about. So do you have an idea of what we should talk about
sports,
for the rest of the day?
You're a sports fan. What would you like to hear us talk about, Nick?
Well, now I don't feel special. I feel like I'm just, you guys finally needed me. Honestly, I'm missing sports too. Although I did see Toronto Blue Jays were well represented in the All-Star game for the MLB. So that was nice to see Vladdy win the big home run.
That was nice. There.
That was good. I'm bored. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, I'm happy you picked up the phone. It's happy to see you. We know there's a lot of guys who love their teams in the NHL. Got to be honest, I feel like the Blue Jays are the most well represented fan base across the NHL. Can't throw a stone too far without finding a Jays fan there. And happy to hear you're one of them. So, big move this offseason, going to Chicago. Obviously, a new city. You've got to play in some great markets. What are you expecting there? What was the draw there for you?
Yeah, you know what I am. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I loved my time in Boston and can't say enough about that organization, the city, and the guys I got to play with. And, you know, it's unfortunate because we really did do something special last season with the team we had and just, you know, didn't get the job done. But, that's the unfortunate part. When you don't, there's a lot of carnage after, and that's the reality of our business. And you know, we knew some changes were going to happen. And, you know, when Chicago called and started to talk to them and go down the road of the possibility of going there, it just really excited me. I think it was what I needed right now in my career. And, the opportunity to play a little bit higher up. I feel healthy. I feel great. And I'm looking for that expanded role a little bit, even at my age, but also just the direction they're headed, you know, to help build something. I kind of did that in Columbus and when I first got there with a really great group of guys, and it reminds me of that a little bit. So I feel like I have the blueprint. I really like the people that are in the organization, and obviously Connor Bedard is a special talent that I'm looking forward to playing with. But it's going to be a lot of work, but a lot of fun, and it checked all the boxes for me and my family.
So the guy I wanted to ask you about was Connor Bedard, and how exciting that is for you personally to go in there and have a chance to, you know, help mold the mind of a young player who's coming in with a ton of expectations, and you're looked upon as one of the better sort of leader guys in the league. Does that excite you in terms of just him coming to you for advice and talking about stuff off the ice? Like, what is the most exciting thing for you going to Chicago to work with Connor Bedard?
Well, I think just how many times do you really get to work with a generational talent? There's only been a few that have come into our league, and
we still got you, Nick?
It sounds like we do, but we don't, if that makes any sense. Maybe reconnect, guys.
We'll
try to reconnect here. Man, you do have a jammer in your pocket, eh?
Buddy.
I don't know what you do. You're the nicest guy going. Everybody loves you, and nobody will ever talk to you on the phone is what I'm learning here, having done a show with you now for 2 days.
We have any drops yesterday?
No, we didn't. Okay. I think you're just saving them all for today. You're like, we actually had some sports. We came off a weekend. We had a lot to discuss. So now I needed you there. You know, it will be interesting.
Thanks, Kip, for writing this show.
It will be interesting. We're trying to get back with Foligno here, right? Because, you know, he's played with a lot of skilled players in his career. Obviously, we know what they have in Boston. His time here in Toronto, had a chance to see Matthews, Marner, those guys up close. And it'll be, I imagine, pretty interesting for him to kind of compare and contrast with Connor Bedard. I believe we have him back now. Nick Foligno rejoining us now.
Hey,
there we go again. We need you.
You can't trust my hometown of Sudbury. There's too many rocks here, so when I'm driving my workout, it's tough.
I got a brother-in-law up in Sudbury. A lot of grit up there. I know how it goes, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a blast. We got to blast a few more rocks here to get us better reception. But but I was just saying, I think what excites me is him off the ice. I think, you know, getting to know the person behind the player and how they motivate themselves, but also the areas that you can help. All right, we can't forget he's never played in the NHL. He's never had these pressures, and although he's grown up in it and understood that, you know, a lot has been asked of him, even at World Juniors. It's a whole different beast here in the NHL, and these are grown men who understand how to be pros, and that's where you get to teach him. And so I'm excited about you know, giving him what I've learned. I came into an incredible locker room in Ottawa with some of the leaders and people that I had to work with, and feel very fortunate that I've been able to use that and pass that on and all the teams I've been on. So that's what I'm excited about and looking forward to doing with Connor and all the guys there, not just him. There's so many young players that hopefully we can make a great impression on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since we've had a phenom like him come into the league, but it's not been that long. I mean, you know, Connor McDavid is a little long in the tooth, but he's still in his 20s. You played with Matthews. You know, you saw the talent that you guys had in that Boston room, but I think a lot of people are really curious. You know, I'm curious for your expectations of what the environment around that team will be like a little bit. Do you expect it to be a little bit of a circus? I mean, again, you were here with the Leafs, albeit a short stint, but you know what it's like when you've got that, you know, star power around you in a big market, and, you know, Chicago having a guy like Bedard. I'm curious what your expectations are for the market to kind of be like. Again, you've played in some great ones.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. You know, you come into Toronto and see how those guys are treated and have to act and the spotlight that they're in constantly every single day. And you know, it's going to be like that. You can't hide from it. This is just the reality of the world we live in. And it's great for our league that, you know, the access that they have to great players. But at the end of the day, too, we're trying to
talk to Nick Foligno.
Sure, oh, I'm back.
We got through the rocks.
Who would have thought this? Of course, it always happens, on these ones. Sorry, guys.
No worries.
But no, I'm saying it's funny. You talk about Matthews. I don't know how much you heard, but you talk about Matthews in the room and the spotlight that they're in. You can't hide from that. You know, Connor's not going to be able to hide from that and you know, the world we live in now, right? So I don't think we can be, you know, surprised by any of that. But I think how you are as a room, how tight you are as a room, helps you in those moments, right? If he knows that we all have his back, if we know that, you know, our room is really enjoying, he's loving to come work every day, and the passion is there, then all that stuff really doesn't matter, right? And he's enjoying just being an NHL hockey player and growing with the team that he's in. So that's what I want to bring, is I want to try and help with a lot of great guys that we have already in that room. And you got Corey Perry coming in, Taylor Hall, Seth Jones is there, Connor Murphy. Like, there's a lot of really good players, Stanley Cup champs even, that are guys that know how to do that. And so I'm excited about being another piece of that and helping mold these young guys and understanding that's the most important part. All the other stuff, that goes away. That doesn't matter. How tight you are as a group is going to dictate how successful we are as a team. And I hope to bring that to Chicago.
So, Nick, you said you're on your way to a workout, and you also said that you're getting older. How have your workouts changed as you've gotten older? Like, what are you doing now that you weren't doing when you're younger, or vice versa?
I feel like I'm working harder now. but you know what? You do. You have to. You know, that's something I've always been really cognizant of, and feel like, you know, especially playing as long as I have, you have to be at the top of your physical conditioning and shape. And you know, it's funny. You do a lot more probably flexibility and functional movement things as you get older, yeah, just to stay loose. But you know, it's something that I know, and having a dad who played, how important that aspect is of the, you know, your career. And not even just, you know, look at even the past few years, like obviously last year was an unforeseen break in my leg, but, you know, the injury prevention that I've actually been able to have. I got unlucky coming to Toronto with my back and you know, after that, but there were some things that spiraled my first year in Boston. But for the most part, I've been able to stay away from some serious injuries, and it all comes back to how you train and how you prepare your body for each NHL season. And I've been lucky in having a great trainer and people to work with. And, you know, it's not so much I change things as I've gotten older. I think I'm just more dialed into the flexibility aspect, the functional movement aspect, so that I'm able to still perform as your body just, you know, has a lot of miles on it, so to speak.
So, I mean, one thing that guys you always talk to in the league that are, you know, have been in the league a long time and are getting older is the speed of the game that it's played at now. And I'm just interested, like, do you work on stuff to try to stay lighter on your feet? Like, I'm always blown away by how fast the younger players have come into the league now. It just seems like it's changed so much for the new generation.
Oh, it's true. It's incredibly fast. I mean, I can't, you know, from when I came in the league, I can tell such a difference in the speed. You know, I always laugh. You come to training camp, there's always like a couple weeks before where you're skating with all the young kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're excited, so everyone's just flying around the ice, and you're like, I might not make the team this year, you know? And then you get out there and you realize, well, you know, there's something about speed, but there's also about knowing what you're doing with your speed and how to get there. And that's where I think, as an older player, you know, maybe you're not as fast as you are with these kids, but you can think the game so much faster than them still. And that's where, you know, I work on my foot speed. It's so important, absolutely, but you know, maybe I'm not going to beat a kid down the ice in a straight sprint, but how many times do you really do that in a game, right? So it's how do you move the puck fast enough? How do you get into places where you know it's going to be? And so those are all things I work on. But absolutely, you're always trying to train and get better and improve your foot speed. But I think it's also understanding the game within the game. And I think that's where older players excel. And you know, and that's something that I've always tried to work on and make sure that I'm sharp with as you get older.
Yeah, and, you know, 35 years old, there are less and less of you guys in the NHL as we go year over year. I was just looking at your junior teams here. You got a little side bet going with Mark Stahl of which one of you two can hang on longer there. I see the both of you both still putting it out there at a pretty ripe age in the NHL. You got a little side bet going with your old teammate?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I had a good laugh because he had Torts in New York, and then I, you know, he had warned me when Torts came to Columbus how tough he was, and so I said, "Man, you're a glutton for punishment going back to Torts in Philly." But I'm happy for him, and he's such a great guy. And you know, I think we're both chasing that thing that's eluded us right now, which is a cup. And hey, man, it's funny how you get to a certain age and you remember coming to the league like, oh man, I'm 35. All those guys are so old. I'll never get there. You know, that's a long ways away. And now we're those guys and still playing. I think that, you know, speaks volumes about us as players, but as people. And Mark's one of those guys that's just been a great, great vet for a long time now and a great player. And, you know, I'm happy that he's still playing. Makes me feel younger because he's still older than me.
So, I mean, you've been we've been talking about the markets that you've played in the last three here with Boston. You come to Toronto, obviously, and now you're going to Chicago. But those are three unbelievable jerseys, Nick. Like, and I'm a big jersey guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, which one of those do you think is the nicest?
Oh, I think I know what he's going to say.
Man. I don't know, man. I got to be honest. I was pretty, when I got to Toronto and just put that leaf on, you know, I was pretty excited. Just, you know, it's something I watched my dad wear.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And there's a lot of history there for me. But then you go to the Spoke B, which is just a gorgeous, gorgeous jersey as well. And I got to be completely honest, I got the Chicago Blackhawks gear finally the other day, and I opened up my bag, and man, that is it's a pretty, the colors, and I don't know, I think I had a lot, we always had that conversation, like, what's the best logo, and I don't know, that might be up there for me, having seen it now, and like, really, yeah, it's a special one. So I'm very thankful, obviously, that I've been able to play for some great teams. Somebody asked me, are you just knocking down all the original six teams here, or what, at the end of my career, but you know, I'm really excited about being a Blackhawk and you know, going on this adventure with this team, and I'm really excited about, you know, getting to know these guys in the city and going from there.
I didn't mean to disparage the wonderful jerseys of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Nick. Sorry, I didn't, you know, the story jersey of the Jackets. I didn't mean to disparage them either.
Yeah. I'm glad. I loved everything about being a Blue Jacket. Yeah. I love my time there, but I am so glad I never wore that stupid B jersey or whatever the hell that jersey.
That was the weirdest logo.
Oh. That was the weirdest, worst logo I've ever seen. So I'm glad I wore the star. That was those colors.
Nice colors, for sure.
Of the Blue Jackets. Really, yeah. Really nice colors. And you know, the Sens, I had the old school Senator that I'm glad they went back to. So that was nice to see them go back to that one. But I really liked my time there, too.
Yeah, how dare they put my boy.
What a politically correct answer.
Yeah, you're crushing it. The PR right
wow.
now is
Hold on. We didn't give a shout-out to the Sudbury Wolves and their beautiful wolf that crosses the rafter when they score. So we just want to make sure to touch all our bases.
The Sudbury Wolves are actually my favorite junior jersey. They're gorgeous.
I was going to say, I will argue anyone that that is the best junior jersey out there.
Them and the Medicine Hat Tigers are my two favorites. There you go.
And you were talking to, not me, but him. You were talking to a junior hockey aficionado. Yeah. Nick, you answered the bell when we needed you the most. We love talking to you anytime, but we needed you today, pal.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you so much for the time. Good luck in Chicago. And I don't know, teach that Bedard a thing or two. We'll see how he turns out.
Maybe teach him how to shoot.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm going to give him all my shooting tips for sure. It sounds like. But sorry about the cell service, boys.
Good.
But thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're great. There he goes, Nick Foligno. As he said, trying to knock off all the original six. Love catching up with a guy like that. This is a term you and I threw.
I think the Hawks are the nicest of the three.
Of the three,
I love the Leafs. Clearly,
I cannot have a proper answer to that question.
Yeah.
It's the Leafs sweater, man. Like,
it's beautiful. I know. But I think they're number two in the league to the Blackhawks.
Okay, that's fine. Like, I am wholly owning that my bias will not allow me to do that. If you ask me to rank all of them, Chicago's probably the best jersey in the NHL, just off the top of my dome there, so I have no quibble with it. We use this term a lot over the weekend. Salt of the earth guy right there.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really enjoyed getting a chat with him.
Small town Ontario guys. They're usually pretty great.
There's a lot of
That's
grit.
That's what I got to tell you.
And I'll tell you, there's a lot of grit floating around up there in Sudbury. Love talking to him, and best of luck to him in Chicago. You know, it'll be a different challenge, totally, right? You know, he said it in the interview, chasing the ring still. Obviously, a little longer shot there than he might have had in other places, but the Bedard carrot is certainly an interesting one. And a guy like that can turn things around in an instant. It really doesn't take that much.
I'm looking at their roster because I was just like, you know, putting their forward competition. I was just kind of reading some different things while we were talking to him there. Like, they don't suck.
No, it's not putrid.
Like, they are. I don't think they're going to be like in the playoff mix by any stretch of the imagination. But like, they're not going to be one of the worst teams in the league again, I don't think.
Okay,
and this is the funnest time to be a fan.
Totally.
And the funnest time to probably be on that team, right? It's like, you're on your way up. There's zero expectations. This is a fan base. This is a team that's gone through a lot of crap in the last couple of years. And rightfully so, right? They've dealt with a lot of stuff. They've had to take a lot of beating, and rightfully so,
through
that whole thing.
Yep.
But then now it's like, whoa, my God, we have the best young player in the league who's coming out. We're signing vets. We got Taylor Hall for nothing. Corey Perry's a pain. Nick Foligno's a great guy that you're going to love having on your team. Like, they right now, it's got to be the most, like, if you're going to power rank what team you want to be a fan of over the next 5 years, the Blackhawks are probably in the top five. Like, it's really exciting.
Yeah, Devils are up there as well. They got everything cooking right now, but of course, right?
Leafs,
they got,
of course.
Well, I mean, look, I actually thought he was, when I said I think I know the answer, I really did think he was just going to go, oh, what are you talking about? I love that red in Chicago. Like, I thought he was just going to go full salesman there, gave us the truth. And I want to be very clear. Because everything is about the Leafs, and I don't think this will happen. Mm. But if you pull up their cap friendly and you talk about Connor Bedard sitting there and being a great young talent, that's a team that could do literally anything they want in the world regarding the salary cap. They got no commitments beyond basically Seth Jones. They got Connor Murphy at $4 million bucks beyond this year.
That ain't gonna hurt.
That ain't gonna hurt you. And Andreas Athanasiou and Taylor Hall at 6 and 4 or 4 and 6 respectively.
But
so
I think that Seth Jones one's gonna hurt you
forever. Him and Ryan Johansson have had the exact same career. Great promise to start, look good, had good moments, and then signed big tickets and never really recovered.
That's Seth Jones on Columbus. You could have talked me into taking him over any guy in the league with the right shot. The way he skates up and down the ice.
Looked like just graceful. Well, I think he is a classic guy who he was put in a position to succeed in Columbus, being on a young team, not that much was asked of him. And then it just kind of, you hit the accelerator and it just never really worked for him. You get paid, you become a different guy. You're on this bad Chicago team now. You don't have a partner you can really trust. I mean, what it's going to be, well, I was about to say him and Zaitsev, but the two of them, what just happened?
I forgot to ask Nick about Davidson's interview. The one where he got like stopped as a streeter.
Oh, I totally did forget about this. His GM.
Yeah. And the reason I wanted to ask him about that, the reason it came up in my mind is because I went to their Cat Friendly page. Their pick stock is absurd.
Yep.
They've got two, this in the next draft, they've got five in the first two rounds.
Seven in the first three. They got two third rounders as well.
They're in a great spot because if they are decent,
yep.
If they're not going to make the playoffs, don't get me wrong here. I'm not being like Chicago's going to be making the playoffs next year, but they're not going to suck as bad as they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, well, we could trade one of these picks.
Totally.
We could trade one of these, like a second round pick now gets you a decent NHLer. Ooh,
especially if they make literally any money because the team's saying, we got to get out of this.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a decent NHL player. Yep. Riley Smith got traded for what, a third or a fourth? It's like, and Riley Smith's a hell of a player.
Would have killed for Riley Smith.
Yeah, well.
Cap fit. Yeah. I know. Tale as old as time. Yeah, they're in a good spot right now. They got the two first rounders. So Tampa's next year. They got the Leafs the year after that. Obviously, conditions on some of those. But then two second rounders in next year's draft. 3 years after that, they got two second rounders. They have got a lot of capital. And the good thing about that is, like you said, it can go one way or another. If you're bad, you just hold on to it. You keep making picks. Great. If not, you can start turning those picks into players sooner rather than later. And again, having a guy like Bedard, it doesn't necessarily mean everything gets warp speed, but would you rule out him being a top five player in the NHL in 3 years?
In 3 years?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No,
I thought you were going to go next year.
No, come on. Not next year. He's not going to be a top five guy in the NHL next year.
But you said, would I rule it out?
You wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out.
You think it's possible that he just comes in.
Buddy, there's guys. Okay.
No, you're right.
Guys that come in and it's like, we had the conversations about Lafreniere, and we had these conversations about Nico Hischier.
Have you ever been more disappointed in a guy than Lafreniere?
I thought he was can't miss.
Man, watching him at the juniors, like spitting blood, so mad, dragging that corpse of a team.
There's just certain guys that come along every time, and we're like, they're going to be really good, and they come in and they're really good.
Yep.
Like, do you think Bedard will get to 100 points this year?
No, I don't think. I think 100 points is just such a tough ask for.
How many people got to 100 points this year?
Did we have 10? If that would seem like a big number. If we had 10 guys with 100 points,
I guess
this year.
Put it in perspective that Mitch Marner didn't get to 100 points.
Right. He never has.
Yeah. There was 11 guys, and the 11th guy was Erik Karlsson.
So Connor McDavid, mm-hmm. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Pretty good. 48 points in 45 games in his rookie year before busting the collarbone.
Yeah.
Now, it's possible McDavid has fresher, younger legs, but I think generally speaking, guys, especially rookies, kind of cool off as the year wears on, mm-hmm. as opposed to piling up points. If I'm just putting the ceiling on Bedard's rookie mm-hmm. year as McDavid's rookie year, which was pretty special, that gets you 80 some odd points. So that's why I think 100 is absurd to expect for Bedard in the first, or not even expect, to put in the realm of possibility for the first year.
I'm shooting my shot right now.
All right, go for it.
I'm saying he's going to 100.
I love it.
If he plays over 75 games or over 80, that gets to 80 games, he'll get to 100 points.
One of the biggest...
Hockey's still hockey, man.
One of the biggest regrets I had... Hockey is definitely still hockey. One of the biggest regrets I had doing all these preview shows late August and everything was, instead of me just stepping to the mic and saying, I think the Devils are going to make the playoffs in the Metro, I would ask everybody, hey, what do you think about the Devils? And then they'd go, too young, not seasoned enough. And then I would go, okay, I keep asking. Everyone tells me I'm wrong. I must be wrong. So I love it. You're convicted in it. You're going to be wrong, but I love that you're so convicted in it.
His junior numbers are amazing.
It's absurd. It's nuts.
He had 143 points in 57 games in the regular season. Then he had 20 points in the 7-game series against I think they played the Saskatoon Blades in the first round.
That sounds right. That sounds correct to me.
And he had 23 points in 7 games at the World Juniors, where he electrified the crowd in Halifax and they heaved away.
Heave away. Oh, yeah. What a song. What a time. All right. We're going to heave away. We'll talk to Ben Schulman when we come back. Blue Jays, what's going on at the break? Should we be disappointed? Should we be happy? And is this real with Alek Manoah? Also, always important to let you know, on the Fan Morning Show, we're giving away concert tickets all month long as part of our Bud Stage Summer Concert Series. Today, we have tickets to give away for Blue Rodeo playing at Budweiser Stage on August 26th with special guests Wild, Rivers, and Rose Cousin. To enter, all you have to do is text the code word Outskirts to 590-590. Again, that's Outskirts to 590-590. If you don't win with us, you can secure your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll have more tickets to give away.
Can I win the tickets to Blue Rodeo?
You may not. You may not. I was literally... I was literally listening to 5 days in May before you rolled in here, so I will get them before you. Just letting that be known.
I want to go to that concert.
Okay. So. We have both asked. Maybe we shall receive. And if you text in the code word, you can too. Ben Schulman coming up next. Fan Morning Show with Gunning and McKee.